Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good afternoon and welcome to the Michael Calderon Show. We are so excited for today's show. We're going to have special guest Janine Stang, who also known as the National Anthem Girl. And if you want to check out her website, please go to www.nationalanthemgirl.org. It's a great cause. We'd love for you to support the project that she's been working on. She is a real, true patriot and a friend. So please, please support her work. You know, these are trying times. And now more than ever, we need to remain patriotic. And there's so much going on in the world. We saw this week alone, the attack in London. And, you know, that's not the end. So now is the time really for us to be united. I want to thank everyone, all the listeners who emailed us and sent messages regarding last week's show with intuitive medical healer Robin Lee and talking about her book. And tomorrow we have another great guest coming on, Monica Quintero, who's a news reporter out in Texas. So we have some great shows lined up, you know, we're just so excited, and we have Janine on the line. We're going to connect her now. And hello, Janine, and welcome.
Hello, Michael. Nice to talk to you.
Yes, thank you so much for joining us today. Oh, so excited to hear about everything that you've been doing. Thank you. On behalf of all Americans, thank you for all of your wonderful work. It's truly, truly amazing.
I love doing it. I absolutely love doing it. It doesn't feel like work at all.
Right. So, you know, before we continue, what I'd like to do is I'm going to play a clip of you, Janine, singing the national anthem. But I think it's important for those listeners that haven't heard to be able to hear your beautiful voice. I mean, you know, it's just amazing. So so let's go to that clip now.
So proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched were so gallant.
Wow, that was amazing. That really was amazing.
That was truly
amazing.
Thank you. It's important to point out that's a studio version, so I take a little bit, it's more artistic liberty, but when I when I sing it for audiences, it is true to the melody that Francis Scott Key's words were originally put to.
Right. Okay. Yeah. And I know I've heard other clips from when you sang live at different events. And
mm-hmm.
and of course you've performed on the Today Show, Fox and Friends, NBC Nightly News, and you also appear weekly on Sirius XM 60s on 6.
Yes,
so
Flash Phelps.
Yeah, so your voice gets quite a workout during the week.
I guess you could say it that way, or thank God for technology.
Yes, absolutely. And you know, you started an incredible journey to sing the national anthem in all 50 states.
Mm-hmm.
And tell us about that. Tell us about that whole idea.
Sure. Well, I always wanted to do something to give back. I used to always hear myself say years ago, when I get big, I'll do something to give back. And I got tired of that. And I got tired of waiting for that proverbial make it big. So I just decided to do what I could with what I had from where I was. And one thing I knew I loved to do was sing the national anthem. And one day I had realized that I sung in a few states and just said, you know what, I should sing in every state. And did not know what that journey would entail. Had no idea it would take 2 years. But it was it came from a place of saying, I want to highlight what the meaning of that song is, and more importantly, put a spotlight on those who embody the meaning. So the national anthem was turning 200 September 14, 2014. And I had been through about 20 states in the beginning of January 2014. And I realized then that this was, you know, the anthem was going to have a pretty big anniversary. So I said, I have to finish before the anthem turns 200. Pretty much hightailed it through the country, got through to 30 states within about 8 months. Some months I was in 6 to 7 states, you know, basically lived
wow.
on a plane. But what I was able to do, which is I think the most priceless part and the most priceless experience for me, was after I would sing the national anthem at events, and these ranged from, you know, NASCAR to Major League Baseball to donkey basketball games, you know, for high schools. I would have a table where people could come up and sign thank you notes that go into military care packages for Operation Gratitude, and to watch people get a blank page, and kind of at first say, like, what do I write? You know, who's this for? Obviously, it was going to somebody who was deployed. And I wouldn't help. I'd say, you know what, think about it. What would you, if it were you, if you were in their shoes, what would you hope to hear from home? And watching people's countenances change after they had felt like, they, you know what, this is going to somebody that needs a taste of home. And
right.
young kids, old veterans, all races, ages helped with that project.
Right. And I think I saw something on your website where people can order some note cards. Is that right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yep. Forgot I have it on there. But those are the actual note cards that we used throughout the journey, those thank you notes. And people can also, they don't have to buy them. You can make them. I have another program called Janine's Team. And people just sign up on through my website, and probably about every month or so, I'll send out an email blast about somebody who served or is serving, or the family of somebody who can use some encouragement. And I tell them, you don't have to buy cards. You could make them. You could have your kids draw the pictures on the front, whatever. And then they send them in to me, and then we get them out to somebody.
Yeah, that's just amazing. You know, helping to support our military personnel who are deployed, and giving them, you know, those words of encouragement. And you've done so much to assist and recognize American veterans. And I know you're going to be singing at the USO's 75th anniversary gala and the 2017 American Legion salute to Heroes Presidential Inaugural Ball. Have those events happened, or are they coming up?
Yes. So the USO 75th Anniversary Gala was in November or October. It was 75 years. So that was in D.C. And then I also sang at the inaugural ball, which was January 20th, the night of the inauguration. And I sang for the American Legion inaugural ball. It's called the Veterans Ball. It's the oldest Veterans Ball, or I believe it's the oldest inaugural ball. Somebody might want to fact check that, but that's what I was told. The Medal of Honor recipients are honored there. So in my opinion, that was the best ball of the night. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yes. Now I do recall seeing those photos, I believe, on your Facebook.
Yeah. Yes.
I believe they were posted on your Facebook page.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was a lot of fun.
What an amazing.
I met so many Medal of Honor recipients that night. And Woody Williams, who's the oldest, he's also the only survivor from the Iwo Jima battle that had been given a Medal of Honor for what he has done. I was there. I met Kyle Carpenter. I met so many Medal of Honor recipients. It was priceless.
Wow. How long did it take you to sing in all 50 states?
Well, it took 2 years. I could have done it faster, but I was trying to raise money. So I was trying to be able to get through all the states, and pretty interesting story of how that kind of worked out. I was pretty much used my savings to get through halfway. And I remember this one moment. I was in my California apartment. I looked up to the left-hand corner of my room as if that's where God was listening to me from. And I said, listen, I got to do this and I need help. I don't have any more money. I really was just determined to just, if I had a hitchhike, I'd hitchhike, you know, what's the big deal? I was determined to finish this because I said I would do it. And I also felt like it really needed to be done because of the awareness that it could build around that song and just the appreciation for the people that give it meaning. So one day I was in my car, I was driving to go drop off dry cleaning. And I looked down and I saw that I had a tweet of mine that was retweeted by Heather Nauert, who was with Fox and Friends, the show. And I was like, I know her. And then she contacted me and said, I didn't, you know, tell me about what you're doing. Do you have photos of the journey so far? And I was like, do I? I have a whole Facebook page for it. And I would think within about 2 to 3 weeks, I was in New York on the show. And I was able to launch a crowdfunding campaign that they posted. So I was able to raise enough money to get right to the end. So it was such a burden lifted off me to be able to say, okay, I can keep going. But it did. It took me 2 years because I was booking it. I was trying to basically find like anchor cities so that I could go in one state and then drive 2 hours to the other and drive 2 hours to the other. So
right.
I made like a 2 to 3 day jaunt out of it. I don't know if that's the right word,
right.
Jaunt, or you know what I mean.
Oh, yeah. And how about your family? What was their reaction when you shared with them that you were going to go on this journey?
You know, they kind of always thought I was a little wacky to go and do crazy things. But, you know, I will say my mom passed away. It was 5 years ago this past December. And she was my inspiration. Yeah, I know where she is. She knows where I am. But she was my inspiration to do something. And she always inspired me to dream. And she would always get aggravated when it was taking me away from her. And I would be like, you're the one that told me to dream big, you know.
Right.
So when I decided to do it, I thought of her and I said, she always did genuine acts to help those who are in uniform feel like $1 million. We owned a bagel shop on Long Island. And whenever somebody in uniform came in, she would be giving them their coffee, you know, or just talking to them, making them feel good to go continue on for the rest of their day. And she never sat there and said, you need to be patriotic or you need to be grateful to veterans. I just saw her do it. So I just naturally followed in her footsteps. And I have to say, even though my mom wasn't here to see all of it, I feel like somehow she knows. She was a very, I would love actually flying because I would always say, I feel like I'm closer to her. But there were always people along the journey that I met, whether I could relate to them or they could relate to me with feeling, you know, that loss of somebody who they loved that they lost. So it was a healing process. My family, some of them, you know, thought I was nuts. And then when I would, like, I was in Montana and I was about to fly a T-34, I just took a picture and said, okay, guys, guess where I'm going? And they were like, oh my gosh, what are you doing? And a T-34 is a two-seater, like a World War II plane. So I never flew before, flew a plane, like literally flew it. So they were all kind of biting their nails, but I'm here. I'm all good. So they were nervous. You know, I'd be driving dirt roads down in North Dakota or whatever. And thank God for Google Maps and Verizon.
right. And I know in your earlier years, you did some singing before the passion arose for the Star Spangled Banner, or at least I think you always had the passion for the Star Spangled mm-hmm. Banner, but at least before the journey began, you did some other singing as well, correct?
Yeah. I had a couple albums out. And I started back when I was just out of college and recorded a couple albums and then moved out to Los Angeles and recorded another one and sang in probably every church and youth group possible in the tri-state area, New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, and then out in L.A., sang in a lot of churches as well. I wrote a ton of songs. I did a lot of that and then kind of just began. When I started this journey, I rarely have sung anything else publicly except the national anthem, God Bless America, America the Beautiful, Amazing Grace, My Country, Tis of Thee, all those.
the entire patriotic album.
Yes, there you go.
And what do you think, I know your mom was a big inspiration to you. Tell me about your younger years, like what, you know, when you were in, let's say, high school, what were your dreams and how did those manifest themselves during your college years as well?
I'll tell you what, the chapel service I think it was probably junior high. Maybe it was actually, I think it might've been more like fifth or sixth grade. There was a guy, he was a guest speaker that came in. His name was Mr. Valentine. And he talked about doing exploits with your life. And aside from my mom, what this man said really stuck with me. And I didn't even really know what the word exploit meant until he talked about it. And I went home that day and I wrote my little diary I had that I would do exploits. And I really think that day was pivotal because it put me on a path to really believe that I was going to do something with my life, which meant make choices that will keep you on that path, make decisions not to hang out with the wrong group of people. Even to the point where I would really work in my basement writing songs. And I didn't have a lot of friends because I just wanted to keep working on what I was believed I was going to do. And I believed I had a purpose. So that kind of set me up to really focus, hyper-focus on that. I mean, I majored in business because I read a book that said artists, music artists, their careers typically fail because they don't have a background in business. So I said, okay, I'm going to go and major in business, concentrate with a concentration in marketing. Got out of college, I was a recruiter. And then I incidentally found out about this company who was starting a lacrosse team, major league lacrosse team. And I left the job that I was with. I told my boss, like, this is an opportunity for me to sing. I became the publicist and the director of sponsorships for Major League Lacrosse team, the Long Island Lizards, based on the stipulation that I will do these two things for you if you let me sing at every game possible. So I was always you know, even in college, I remember I went to St. Joseph's College in Patchogue, and I remember the first day or the second day of school as a freshman, found the athletic director and said, hi, I'd like to sing the national anthem for your games. And he looked at me like I was crazy. And he said, you do know that we don't have a gym, right? So I didn't realize it. And then I said, okay, well, when you get one, can I do it? So he said yes. And 2 years later, I ended up singing at the opening of the gym. Howie, can you hear me okay? I'm trying to move around. Is it okay now?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, yes.
So that, those are the things. I don't know if I gave you a really long answer to your question, but I just always was focused on trying to make a difference.
Oh, no, no. I mean, you know, I think from what I've seen and you know, we're connected on social media, and from what I've seen, your work has been amazing. I want to talk about My American Promise and also, you know, the work that you do to assist military transition into civilian life. We do have a caller on the line, and actually he's been on for a bit, so I want to connect him. Hi, Mario. How are you?
Hi. Hi, Michael. How are you?
Good. Thank you so much for calling in. Did you have a particular question you wanted to ask Janine or something to say?
Oh, you know, actually, what kind of, so how are you helping the military? I'm really interested in this.
Sure. So initially what I had done when I started to sing the national anthem in all 50 states, I was collecting thank you notes from people all over the country at wherever I would sing. I still do it. People can write thank you notes and they go into Operation Gratitude Care Packages. And I've also been able to get involved and help promote a lot of other causes, working with Operation Gratitude. I've also went overseas with a company called J.B. Hunt and Hiring Our Heroes, which is we did a tour of some military bases in helping them to understand better on how to transition from military to civilian life. I've got some other programs that I've been working on. Just yesterday, actually, it was really fun. I was invited to a Medal of Honor recipient luncheon, and I got to sing for it, but I knew, had some leeway, lead time in how, in when this was going to happen. So I reached out to a lot of the teachers because I speak in schools. I reached out to teachers all across the country, and also from SiriusXM, I'm on air with him. So I talked about that each week. Hundreds, I would say thousands of letters came in, and we were able to distribute them to the Medal of Honor recipients, personal letters to each one of the recipients. So, all 75 recipients had a bundle of mail. We did like a mail call for them in D.C. at Arlington Cemetery. Today, by the way, is Medal of Honor Recipient Day. And so each one of them, you know, stood up and got their bundle of mail from students who understand that these truly are our heroes, our national heroes. And that was a lot of fun. So I try to do a lot of stuff that connects our civilians to our veterans in personal ways.
Wow, that's amazing. We need more patriots like you, Janine.
Well,
yes, you do.
You know what? I have to say, it's really because I met so many patriots. It's because I met so many people. You look them in the eyes and you see that they've gone through stuff, and it was a choice. You know, they write a blank check to America that they give up to including their lives in service for our country.
Right.
So the least we can do is take some time to say thank you in a tangible way. You know, we could say a lot of things, but I think it's really important to do more than say.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's amazing.
Tell us about My American Promise.
Sure. My American Promise came out of me saying, after singing the national anthem in all 50 states, I had so many stories, one of which comes from Cliff, who's a World War II veteran who who stormed Normandy on D-Day, lived to talk about it. At the time I met him, he was 92. I met him in my 47th state, which was Kentucky, at a Louisville Bats game. And I sat down with him and I said, you know, I get to talk to a lot of young Americans. What would your advice be? And as if he was waiting for me to ask him that question, he said, tell them that this is their land and they need to love it. They need to live in it and they need to protect it. And I didn't need to write that down. That stuck with me. And I one day was thinking about how I could continue to spread those lessons from the journey that I was on and share, more importantly, about the people that I met. So I put this program together called My American Promise, and I've been going to elementary schools and middle schools and sharing Cliff's definition of patriotism, and I break apart each of those words to talk about how important it is. You know, loving it doesn't mean you always like everybody, but you sure enough love them. You know, if you have a brother or a sister, you don't always like them, but you love them. You would drop everything in a heartbeat if they needed you. And that's how we have to be as Americans. This is our land. I mean, at the end of every card that you write, if you wanted to write USA, every person in America technically lives in the same house. So if this is our house, how do we treat it? So those are the kind of things that I try to help kids to understand and put it in a more relatable perspective for them from these people that I met. So that's the program that I absolutely love it. I mean, talking to kids is so fun and they're so receptive to hear the stories. And gosh, when they hear that Cliff was 92, they go crazy. They just think that's so amazing. And then I talk to the older students about how important it is to have integrity. If you say you're going to do something, you need to do it. Don't say it. Don't make a promise unless you're going to back it up with every fiber of your being. Because if you start lying to yourself when you're younger, it causes a trend in your life. And when you say you want to do something or accomplish a goal, you are not going to believe yourself. So if you don't believe yourself, nobody else believes you. You might as well just not even try doing anything because you're never going to do it.
Right, right. Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. No. And how often in a month are you traveling? Sounds like a lot.
Yeah, well, I've actually had a couple of months where it's not too crazy, and a lot of the events that I was doing were in D.C., so I didn't have to be on a plane so much. But I used to tease people and say, if you need to get in touch with me, just call up, you know, send my mail to the plane seat that I've pretty much occupied. But I love being on the road. I absolutely love it. So this upcoming in April, I'll be back on the road again. And, you know, as much as I could be out there, as much as I'll do it.
Right. And where is home for you?
I now live in Baltimore, Maryland.
Wonderful. Wonderful.
Yep. I grew up on Long Island.
So you're pretty
California.
Close to D.C.?
Yes. Yeah. Well, depending on traffic, I'm learning about traffic from, I thought L.A. and New York was bad, but I think Washington, D.C. has both sides of the country beat.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. And what's next on the horizon for Janine?
Well, I have a couple of projects that I'm going to be launching, and I'll have to come back on the show to talk to you about. Really, what's next is I'm going to going to be speaking in a number of schools coming up in April, and then there's some other exciting things. I haven't confirmed it yet, but I don't think they'll get mad if I say that I think I'm jumping out of a plane in Nashville with, I believe it's the National Guard. So I'm going to be jumping out of a plane. That's a little different.
Wow.
And it's to help build awareness
now
for their recruiting efforts.
That's something I could not do. I could not do.
If I can do it, Michael, you can do it.
Well, that's true. That's true. That's true. But you know, I'm the type that, you know, if I sit in a virtual ride at an amusement park, I get dizzy.
Oh, no.
And that's just in a virtual ride.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll let you off the hook.
And so what do you do for fun?
That's a good question.
Any particular hobbies or is this
really.
or you know, in some cases
I
like
with
me,
clean.
My work
I
is fun for me.
Yeah. I live, if you ask anybody in my family, I live this, breathe it, sleep it. It is always on my mind. And I think what's so great about it is it encompasses so many things. First of all, it encompasses a lot of, I meet a lot of people. I love people. I get to travel a lot. I love traveling, as I said. And it's a lot of creative stuff. And then, of course, there's also the social media side of it. So really, there's never a dull moment. There's not really much time. And I just always feel like if I could do something, if there's an opportunity for me to be out there, I'll take that over, yeah, I don't know, playing tennis. I also am not good at tennis.
Right.
So.
And do you have siblings?
Dentist, and he lives in Manhattan with my two adorable nieces and my sister-in-law. And I also have another niece on Long Island with my cousin he's my cousin Vinny, but he's really my brother.
Right.
He and his wife. So I've got family. I've got the rest of my family lives on Long Island. And so I'm back and forth there a lot. And that's a lot of fun.
Yeah, you still have your New York accent no matter where you go, right?
You know what I tell people? If you get me mad, it'll come out. It'll absolutely come out.
Right.
I remember the first time when I was in Los Angeles, and I think I was there for probably about a year or so, and instead of saying coffee, I said coffee, and I was like, like I literally was like, did you just hear that? That didn't sound like I normally have said it all my life. And so that was a little crazy. And then, of course, you know, you just kind of realize that not everybody, speaks that Brooklyn language. A lot of people always think I'm from Brooklyn when they hear me in my,
really?
You know. Yeah, I don't know what it is. My father was born in Flatbush. My mom grew up right on the same block I lived, and she didn't really have an accent. So I don't know. I don't know where I got it.
Oh, huh, interesting.
Yeah.
And tell me about when you go to schools mm-hmm. to do speaking engagements, and I know you're a motivational speaker, and
yeah.
there's a bunch of things that you do. And I thought I had a busy life. what's the core message that you try to convey?
For the kids, is that they're never
yes.
too young to make it. They're not too young to make a difference. There's always that trepidation of, what's somebody going to think about me if I see somebody who needs something and I help them, or if I reach out to encourage someone rather than sit back with my friends and laugh. There is always, my mom always taught me this. She would say, it only takes one person to stand up and take a position of leadership. And there are going to be hundreds of people right behind them saying, I needed the dam to break, you know? So if you can have that spine and say, I know there are other people that can follow in a good path if I make that step, then you're doing something. So I try to talk to the kids about that. I also talk about how important it is to recognize what fear is. And that's that acronym you've probably all heard, false evidence appearing real. A lot of times as adults, let alone kids, you know, you think of something you want to do, whether it's a goal, whether it's an outreach initiative, whatever it is, and immediately you get these, like, negative thought bombs that want to sabotage you. And I always try to explain that thoughts are just thoughts unless you act on them. So there's ways to sort of stop those types of things in their tracks from stopping you to take a step in the right direction. So I really try to teach the kids to really be a leader, but also understand the responsibility of being successful at your goals. It means there's always something in the core of that for you to find to give back. Your job doesn't define you, your career doesn't define you, your acts of kindness and courage and compassion really are what define you.
Right. And what would be your message to listeners and to Americans in terms of supporting their country and supporting their military?
I think it starts with in your community, within your 1 mile radius. You know, when you're talking to someone, listen for real. Listen, don't be paying attention to the next thing you need to do on your agenda. And it's hard because we're all, you know, there's so much stuff that goes on in our own lives. But if you, and even if it's just to smile, take the time and you could change someone's day. You know, there are people all around us that need love. I'll never forget the times when I was in the hospital with my mother. We spent 31 days together in the hospital. And there are people that you just gravitate to because they stop in, whether if it was a nurse that just went a little bit above and beyond to just check in or maybe ask, you know, some of the off the beaten path questions rather than just what their job asked them to do. Or if it was the people that, you know, they said, I'm going to come up and visit. And they actually did. And, you know, it's just those little breaths of fresh air. You don't realize how much that allows people to keep going. So I would say, you know, it starts in the little things. It starts in the, let me see, maybe, you know what, join the Janine's team thing. You go to my website, nationalanthemgirl.org. There's a yellow button. You just submit your email. I don't spam you. I don't sell your email addresses. It's just once a month or so.
Right.
I'll find a veteran. For instance, Ray Chavez, who has just turned 105. So I told everybody about him. He's a Pearl Harbor survivor. He's the oldest Pearl Harbor survivor. And I invited anybody who wanted to write a card to him. Send it to me. I will put them all in one package and send it to him. You know, it doesn't take a lot of time to help other people.
Right. Right. And how can people send you those cards? Where do they send them to?
In the email, it'll give my P.O. box. And so with every email that I send out, there's the directions for the blast. So the process would be this. You go to nationalanthemgirl.org. There's a yellow button that says Join Janine's Team. You click that. It'll give you a form you fill out. It's just your name and your email address. And then I think when you finally do the final confirmation, you will get the latest email that I've sent out, which would actually be Ray Chavez's 105th birthday. So you can go ahead and write a card and send it to me. If you have a group of people, let them all know that they can do this. If you're a teacher, if you work at a company that you think maybe some people would want to do that, that's great. Then I will take all the cards that are sent to me by the deadline indicated and send them out. So that's one of the things that I've been doing for a while. So, and I think the important thing is there are a lot of people that sign up. There aren't always as many people that actually do it. So that's also kind of like a exercise for yourself to say, I'm going to commit to doing this. It doesn't take a lot. It's a card. You don't have to buy it. You can make it, and a stamp. And
right,
sometimes.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. But so. But then there is an expense on your end as well for forwarding it, correct?
Yeah.
Right.
So I'll send them out. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So if folks wanna support the cause, I know that they can also on your website, nationalanthemgirl.org. They can also donate.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And you have my personal pledge that I'm going to be donating to the cause as regularly as possible because I think that you know the work that you do is just really amazing. And I know also if you want to download Janine's studio version of the national anthem. It is available on iTunes, as well as I see a couple of other albums there, Lifetime Guarantee.
Yeah. Yep.
And Pay Attention.
That's right. Yeah,
I'm going to check out those albums, too.
Okay. I don't
yeah,
love
definitely.
The music behind it, just FYI, but it was a lot of fun working on this project.
Well, why don't you like the music behind it?
Well, the earlier albums were a harder rock sound, so that's not what I'm into.
Okay, but
yeah, that's
not how
you might like it.
Yeah, I mean, Pay Attention was released almost 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And Lifetime Guarantee actually was released back in 1998. That's actually
yeah.
when I moved from New York to Florida. So
I think that was in 2004. I don't know why it says 98 on there. But I did that one in 2004. Yeah, and that's the album that has the Star Spangled Banner on it. That recording came from that album.
Okay, so
mm-hmm.
if folks want, they can just download this album and they'll get the national
mm-hmm.
anthem on there.
The studio version.
I'm noticing actually looks like I had purchased the national anthem a while back from iTunes, so that's a good thing. But
mm-hmm.
now I am curious to hear the other music, and you know I think with a lot of musicians, you know, as their life changes, so does their music.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and how did that change for you? Tell me about that shift.
As far as the style of music?
Yeah, I mean, you know, obviously, you know, 10 years ago, you were in a mm-hmm. different frame of mind than you are
yep.
now.
Yeah.
So how has, you know, your situation impacted the music?
I think I've always wanted more of a simple sound, and really I think the message in the songs was really important to me. I was big on I always wrote my own lyrics, so they came from whatever I was dealing with at the time, and sound synthesized live on that album on Pay Attention. We had a some pretty cool musicians work with us on that. And the Lifetime Guarantee album was mixed by Gene Paul, Les Paul's son. And that was a fun experience. You know who Les Paul is, right? Guitar.
I'm sorry, you cut up a second.
Okay. How's that? Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay. So the album Lifetime Guarantee was mixed by Les Paul's son, Gene Paul. And that was a lot of fun. And he's worked with everybody from, you know, Aretha Franklin and on. And to be in a studio with him was an amazing experience. So there was a lot of, you know, a lot of stuff. I think at this point, I think my focus has been so much on the songs that I haven't really delved into a lot of it. But I still write, you know, I still love writing songs. So who knows? Maybe I'll get back
okay.
in the studio one day.
Yes, absolutely. please let me know because I want front row seats to that.
Okay. We
did
stage
have a
dive.
Question.
I don't like the rides, so go ahead.
Yeah, that's right. We did have a question that came in from a listener. Do you think that President Trump will help veterans, in your opinion?
I hope everybody helps veterans, in my opinion.
Right.
I stay away from politics, so I think that if
yeah.
he surrounds himself with people that have a firm grasp on what it is that they need. I know there are a lot of programs out there that are focused on engaging veterans in what they need to do to influence policy because they need to be heard. So I hope he continues and does listen to veterans and gets involved with them, because I personally don't think you could go wrong with listening to veterans, personally.
Right. And we got another message that came in. This is from Joe Sanchez, who has co-hosted this show many times and is a personal friend of mine. And he said, please thank Janine for me for all she does for our troops. God bless her mother's soul.
And
Joe Sanchez is a Vietnam veteran.
Welcome home.
Yeah, he's been on this show many times. You can go to his website, bluewallnypd.com. Again, that's bluewallnypd.com. And you could read about his amazing story. And I can send you the link to the show where he was interviewed. But, you know, so many veterans came home to a country that was not embracing them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I have in my own family several uncles that served in Vietnam and in Korea, and cousins that served in Desert Storm and some of the other conflicts in the Middle East. And as a country, and I stay away from politics as much as possible as well publicly, but as a country, regardless of your political party, you know, we have to unite, and we have to, you know, support the leadership of our country. Mm-hmm. You know, it's okay to protest when you're in disagreement with certain things, and there's a civil way to protest. Mm-hmm. I don't believe in physical violence as a means of protesting, and I don't believe in, you know, withholding services from people because they're not, you know, in the same party or they don't share the same belief systems, you know. I help atheists as much as I help Christians and other people of faith. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and I do it because I believe that's my duty.
Right.
You know, it's not to judge. It's to be there for all people.
That's right.
So I really hope that, you know, that there is a greater awareness here in our country. I think that, you know, folks like yourself, Janine, who are out there on the front line showing support for our men and women in uniform, showing the love that you have for this country, the passion that you have for this country. I share that same love and passion for the United States. And, you know, and many of our listeners do, if not all of them, and because we do have a lot of veterans that listen to the show. What do you think is the best, you know, support that we can provide to help veterans get jobs and even find, you know, help them to find friends? Because and that's a message that came through from a listener. How can we help the military transition, I guess? How can we help them connect with normal people?
Yeah. So the first thing is the transition on the side of finding work. There's a very practical, you know, way in which employers can go ahead and avail themselves of people who can actually help them understand what it means to have veterans on staff. Some of them are in the reserves. So there's requirements for them, you know, throughout the year. What kind of provisions are these employers going to make for them so that they, okay, I'm going to lose my job because I'm going to go serve my country, you know, fulfill my commitments. So there's an organization that's Hiring Our Heroes. That's an organization that helps kind of like, I guess the right, I don't know if it's the right word, but mentors companies that are looking to hire more veterans. Then there's also, for those out there that are veterans or possibly military who are going to transition, I think the scariest thing is saying, I have to create a resume, because the MOS is going to not really transfer into civilian speak. Those are the different things that they did in the military. And what I know about is a tool, it's called Resume Engine. I believe it's resumeengine.org. You don't even have to write the resume. You go log in, it's free. It's a free service from Hiring Our Heroes. And you have these different drop-down menus that ask you a bunch of questions, and then it will literally spit out a resume that is a civilian-facing resume. So if you're looking to get a job in corporate America, and you have to, you're not sure how to say, you know, you you were in infantry and you did this, this, and this, or you don't know how that translates into something that would be appealing to somebody who's on the civilian side, this resumeengine.org will help you do that. It also will help you circulate your resume to HR professionals who are looking to hire. So for those who can, you know, spread the word about resumeengine.org, it's a great tool. For those who are hiring veterans, you definitely want to make sure you understand the different aspects of that. And then for those who are looking, you have to really start to understand the culture that you want to get into. I think the best advice that I heard from, who is, I believe, I don't want to get his title wrong, so I'll just say he is with Hiring Our Heroes. He said a lot of times veterans, and they, you know, or those who are about to transition, start to talk to potential employers, and they hear, oh, this is going to make me $60,000 a year, and they jump at the first job. And typically, statistically, they're, I think it's like 50% will leave their first job within 6 months. So you go from like, okay, I was in this world, this military world, I was so used to it. Civilian, getting back into the civilian world is very different. And then you get a job and you think it's just, you know, because you're looking for, you need money, but then you absolutely don't mesh with the job. Corporate culture is different than what you're used to. Maybe you were always in a submarine and now you're with groups of people. You're not completely comfortable. So he advises, right, take some time, learn about the culture, learn about what you really want. And there's a lot of things online that can help you do that. So Hiring Our Heroes is a really good resource. ResumeEngine.org is a good resource for those who are looking to transition out.
Yeah, and you know, you bring up a great point. It's a valid point. Mm-hmm. And that is that, you know, many of the MOS, which is a military occupation, many of those do not translate into mm-hmm. civilian jobs.
Right.
You know, I can remember when my brother-in-law, one of them, I have two that retired from the Air Force, and one of them, you know, his position was an air traffic controller. But you know, in the military world, an air traffic controller, their job is to keep the planes as close as possible. Whereas in the civilian world, it's to keep them as apart as possible. So, you know, that there's a learning curve there.
Exactly. And then the other thing, too, is a lot of these, you know, I was just at a job fair helping with some of these high-ranking military officers who are going to be transitioning out after 20 years in the military, 30 years in the military. And, you know, the biggest thing is like, you listen to the things that they've done and you're like, okay, you do realize that you could be, you know, you've managed, you've strategically, you come up with these strategic plans, you're dependable, you can take something and run with it. You don't need to be like, okay, now you do this, now you do this. So, you know, it kind of like telling them you are potentially one of the best picks out of the bundle and you don't know it yet because you're sitting there saying, well, I don't know, I just, you know, fired whatever. There's a lot of things that employers, if they understood how it parallels to what they could do in their own company, would be like, okay, yeah, this makes sense. But it's this thing called the resume that is always like, oh, geez, how do I get through that? So that's pretty
right.
helpful. Yeah.
Right. Right. What I'd like to do as we're winding down on the show,
mm-hmm.
I would like to play your clip once more of the national anthem,
mm-hmm.
If that's okay with you.
Sure.
I don't think you get tired of hearing it, right?
I don't get tired
or
of singing it.
Right, right, right. All right, let's go to the clip.
So proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched were so gallant.
Absolutely beautiful. I could hear that all day. Thank you so much, Janine, for coming in, for being on the show. I so very much appreciate it. Listeners, please go to nationalanthemgirl.org. Sign up. She doesn't sell out her mailing list, so sign up. Get all the valuable information. Please support the cause. I mean, this is for our American troops, and I think Janine put it so well when she said that, you know, our veterans wrote a check to the United States, a blank check, you know, which included their life, and that is an amount that is priceless. It really is. Any final comments, Janine?
No. Thank you so much for having me on, and you know, just for all you do to help get the word out about different things that are important. And thanks for supporting our veterans as well. Thanks for what you're doing to get the word out.
Yes, one of our veterans just sent in a message. Bravo.
No.
So that was for you. That's for you, Janine. That's for you.
That means the world for veterans.
yes. And you know, please stay in touch. I know we're gonna stay in touch offline.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'd love to have you come back on the show and give us an update on what's
mm-hmm.
going on with you.
Absolutely.
And you know, please continue to use us as a resource to help support the cause, and you know, anything we can do to help on this end, you have my personal commitment and my pledge to you that I'm going to help.
Thank you so much. That means a lot. I appreciate it, and I hope everybody out there has a great weekend. And remember, it's Medal of Honor Recipient Day today, March 25th. So I'm
Wonderful.
Sure what they would love for you is if you find a military family, somebody deployed, and you could help the family out, go for it.
Right.
Don't stop.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. God bless you, and God bless America.
Amen. You too.